prayer for understanding of God's word. Please join me. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. The gospel reading is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Jesus tells the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything there was, a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomachs with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come back,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
The word of God for the people of God.
Well, this is not as easy as it looks, and some people make it look a lot easier than it probably really is. So we're going to do three parables on lost, and we'll see how it works out. A woman and her grandmother, and usually sometimes I tell the story about my grandfather who lived in Arkansas, but we'll leave his name out of it now. We're sitting on the porch talking about a family member who had strayed away. "He's just no good," said the young woman. "He's completely untrustworthy, not to mention lazy." "Yes, he's bad," the grandmother said as she rocked back and forth in her rocker on the porch. "But Jesus loves him." "Oh, I'm not so sure of that," the young woman persisted. "Oh, yes," assured the elderly lady. "Jesus loves him." She rocked and thought a few minutes and then added, "Of course, Jesus doesn't know him the way we do." Let us pray. God, give me the words to say what is needed in this gathering of your servants and children. In the name of Christ, amen. Many people in this church will say, "God loves you," and they really mean it. But think a minute. Have you ever thought, how can he? If he really knew me, he wouldn't love me. Have you said, I know God is no fool, and believe me, loving me would be foolish? Of course, God really does love you, and he is not foolish, because, sadly to say, the example of that is standing before you. I am the most unworthy person you have ever known, and yet God loves me. The text tells us of that love. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's you and me. In the first story, you are the sheep and God is the shepherd. And in the second, you are the coin and God is the woman. And in the last story, you are the son and God is the father. These parables prove God's love beyond measure and shows us the opportunity to celebrate. They introduce the importance of sinners to Jesus and thus for us, his disciples. The tension from the stories come from attempting to find something that has been lost. Remember the last time you lost something and you searched for it? And maybe that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, if it had value like a lot of money or a fine piece of jewelry. And then the feeling of relief when it's found. I still have a very valuable earring that is missing, and I still look for it. I have no idea where it is. And what about you? Are you still searching for something lost but not found? So we know the shepherd in the first parable was at 100 sheep. That made him modestly wealthy because this flock was of economic value to him for the meat and for the wool. But at the end of the day, he discovers that one is missing. And he leaves them. Now, the people at the hearing the story would have thought, maybe someone's going to help take care of these other sheep, these 99 sheep. But the text doesn't tell us that. So you can imagine however you wish. But this sheep must be found. There's danger in the wilderness. Wild beasts that would devour the sheep. There are crags and ravines that the sheep could trip over, fall in, break a leg, never be found again. And it's just not safe to be a lost sheep in the wilderness. So the sheep is found. Oh, and the shepherd carries it on his shoulders. Can you just visualize that? Rejoicing at having found it. Now the man was in the position to have afforded to lose one sheep. Would he have done so in the setting of the time? And the answer is probably not necessarily. There would have been danger for him also. But remember, God is not just any shepherd. The owner throws a party. He asks his neighbors to join him. This is a time of celebration. The lost is found. The party is extravagant. The party might have been more expensive than the worth of the lost sheep. And Jesus says, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need to repent. When a sinner repents and turns to God, heaven throws a party. God's love is extravagant. Perhaps we can't relate to losing a sheep or any other livestock, but we can all relate to losing money. Some have lost bills and coins from our pockets during the course of our days. Some have lost a lot of money because we made poor economic choices, sometimes at the hands of the stock market or other schemes. But in Palestine at the time, a Palestinian woman, and he's talking about the Jewish women also, would have received 10 silver coins as her wedding present, probably from her husband, because it has value. It not only has monetary value, but it has sentimental value. And we've seen pictures of women wearing their coins on them. So she has lost it. She's lost the sentimental coin, much like if you lost your wedding ring. Think of that. And then she becomes distressed. Where could it be? As the woman looks, we can see her with her little lamp, or in this day and age, with her little flashlight, looking under things, maybe the furniture, maybe the bed, discovering she has dust bunnies. I would take the cushions off of the sofa, look under all the folds of the chairs. But she gets a broom and she sweeps from the corners inward. That's how good housekeepers do. It's easy to get caught up in her panic. I can just imagine looking for something that's really lost and I really want. And when it turns up, what a sense of relief. She calls her friends together and they rejoice. And I'm sure they were good UMW friends. So the casseroles and the pies and the Jell-O salad were abundant and delicious. Jesus tells us there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Those parables are similar, but I think the second one, only because I identify it better, stresses searching more than the first. The shepherd and the woman are actively seeking for the lost. Jesus' disciples should be diligently searching for sinners, for the lost. It is our priority. Jesus engaged, he talked to, he ate with the lost of his day. We need to follow his example. The third parable is commonly known as the prodigal son. Like the other two, the focus is on the recovery of what is lost. But our interest should be on the father, the attention he gives the younger son returning, and the response to the elder son's resentment. It was extremely uncommon, and probably unheard of, to give inheritance to someone who was still alive. The younger son would have been entitled to half the elder brother's portion, or a third of the estate, but the father gives it to him. And his kid's probably an older teenager who already knows everything. So we can imagine the father letting the son go. The father knows what can happen to the young, and yet he lets him depart. Was there a discussion on the danger of the outside world? Were there pleas to stay? The father can only watch and hope and pray that the son will be okay and perhaps return. The young man is greedy, perhaps, or he's tired of being told what to do. But John Wesley sees this young man as having the root of all sin, and that's independency from God. Think about that. Are we independent or are we dependent upon God? The immature son soon squanders his money and throws it away. It's easy to get caught up in the folly of sin. But there are consequences for this folly. He loses his money and now works for a Gentile feeding pigs. Pigs? Ugh, the unclean animal all Jews abhor. That was an indignity. And the young man is hungry. Well, even the scraps the pigs are eating would be tasty. He understands he is lost. He comes to his senses, comes aware he needs to go home, where the hired hands eat better than he does. This is the realization that to be out of God's family is to be utterly alone. So he hatches a plan. His words, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son," shows his humility, as we show humility when we turn to God. Have you witnessed a person who repents and turns to God? First, the tears fall when the sin is acknowledged, and then the joy floods the person when he sees the love of God. The mercy of the Father is all this young man has, and the mercy of God is all we have. The next part would have been against all protocol of the time. So we have to remember that. Because no father would have greeted a rebellious son. That just didn't happen. When you were gone for good. But like most of Jesus' parables, here's the twist. And the point that he's making is, The father welcomes the son. He is thrilled to see the son. Some people have allowed pride to stand between the relationship they could have with a parent, a child, a sibling, or a friend. The son is willing to be a servant, but the father restores the boy to full heirship, and the party begins. The father expresses urgency to the servants to transform the returned son. The dirty rags the son wore are replaced. He gets a robe, a ring, perhaps a nice big signet ring, and sandals for his bare feet. The fatted calf is prepared. The story would have reminded the Jews that the fatted calves were saved for special occasions, like the Day of Atonement. This is not just any party. It is a rare celebration. The son has come from destitution to restoration. This is what God's grace does for the penitent sinner. Well, the elder son is in the field and doesn't know about his brother's return, but he hears the commotion of music and a party. And a servant explains what has happened. The younger brother is safe and sound. He was dead and now alive. He was lost, now found. The older brother becomes enraged. How unfair! However, there is irony. The brother on the outside is now on the inside, and the older brother, who was on the inside, is now on the outside. This echoes Jesus' words, "The last shall become first, and the first has become last." But the father's compassion does not cease. He comes out to the angry brother and tries to calm him down. The elder brother pleads his case of faithfulness despite the lack of ever having a celebration. He makes a serious complaint. "I'm worthy. You are ungrateful, and this is unfair." What parent has not heard those complaints before? The elder brother has a heart issue. Because there's no joy. There's no joy because he's caught up in the self-righteousness and the self-direction of justice and equity to have mercy and to have joy. But mercy, grace, and love are the justice and equity we all have and we all need. The elder brother does not show forgiveness or compassion. He is angry. He does not refer to his brother as his brother, but to this son of yours. He is saying, "I cannot accept this person as my brother anymore." The father accepts the older brother and acknowledges that whatever the father has already belongs to him. There's no reason for jealousy. In fact, the elder brother has always had access to the animals for celebration anytime he wanted. The father says, "We had to celebrate because your brother is found." Justice means that the son should be received back with joy and celebration. Transformation has occurred. The sinner should be welcomed back into God's family with joy. This parable can be told today as we try new and different ways to reach out to our community. God uses us to seek and save the lost. Are our hearts so stony that we can't find joy in a new ministry or celebrate a new direction that God is providing for us in our church? This parable is almost allegorical. The father is God, the prodigal son is the lost, and especially like the sinners and the tax collectors, and the elder brother is the self-righteous leadership of the Pharisees and the scribes who claim to serve God but are yet unforgiving. This parable offers the good news in the face of criticism Jesus heard when he joined in fellowship with sinners of his time. Think about the sinners of our time. Who are they? Are they offered the good news, or do we shy away from them? This parable offers 2 points. First, repentance is an absolute reversal of status. The father accepted the son. This is God's grace. Second, others should have joy when the sinner returns. Reconciliation not only involves God, but the community. We have seen news stories of lost children. The search involves a whole community. They become a search party. They look, the young, the old, they search under rocks, behind trees, in the meadows, anywhere a child could hide or be hurt. Think of us as that search party of God. But then when the cheers go up, when the child is found, the tears of joy and relief on the faces of the parents and the community, looking for the lost and finding joy when they are found. We don't know what happens to the elder son. Does he stay in sin? Does he come to celebrate? What ending do you have for the elder brother? For many years, I just understood this parable as the younger son and came home for a reunion. I didn't give the older brother a second thought. Does his state reflect ours? Does he find the joy to celebrate? Does he live with resentment for the rest of his life? I think the parables would have brought home to the Pharisees and scribes how much compassion that they had for lost possessions, but they cared little for lost people. Are we more concerned with a lost possession or a lost person? Do we seek the lost coin, lost earring, lost watch, lost keys with urgency, and then forget the person without Christ we meet every day? Do we spend time on the stuff without regard for the brothers and sisters in God's house? What will restore you to a true relationship with God? We were lost, we were found, and we are still in a relationship with God through Christ, rejoicing and celebrating when the sinner comes home to God, or when we hear the voice of God welcoming us and them home. Thanks be to God.